Welcome to the Freedom Nation Podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
So how does this work, this model, thinking from the speciality, audiobook, grade, normal book, greater two level above where you want to be, specific to the general, word analysis followed by articulation, how successful was it? Kimberly gave me full permission to tell her story. She's a homeschooling mom. We spoke last December 27th, 2024. She had her son, she spent $700 for the state of Ohio to test her children, including Reed. He scored a 190 on that test, which was at the end of second, beginning third grade level reading and writing. That, so he was supposed, if he was in a normal class, he was supposed to increase by a normal school, a normal public school, 2 to 3 points by the end of the school year to a 192 or 193.
Sure.
211 was average, grade level. Okay. That didn't happen. He increased by 20 points. And Kimberly was not drilling him all day, every day. She worked with him a half an hour a day, 3 days a week on average. And I worked with her about half an hour a week. Okay. So Reed scored a 210, 1 point below average. Then Reed's buddies came and said, Reed, you're our friend. We want you in public school for to be social. So Reed wanted to go to public school. If this was January, he would have been thrown in special ed, couldn't be with his friends, would have been a nightmare. But now he's in sixth grade, in typical classes. He's doing just fine. And his mom did this. His mom
did this. A non-professional educator.
Non-professional educator did this. She was more successful than the private dyslexic schools.
I love it. I love it. Well, you know, like we were talking about before the show, you know, coming to you from the people who have generated, you know, only 20% of people that can read and do math by the time they're out of college, but, or by the time they're out of high school. But yeah, I mean, it, like I said, it's, I love what you're doing from the simple fact is, okay, let's figure this out. There's a way to figure out how to do it.
And no, you don't need to figure it out. This is how severe it's gotten. When I presented in New York City, the professors came to me. They said they wanted the craft of research. I was like, what the heck's the craft of research? It was came out in the University of Chicago in 95 because their PhD students didn't know how to write their dissertations. And I'm like, you want me to show this to school kids? And they said, yes.
Okay.
And just you know how advanced this is. They show you literally how to do context, get everybody on the same page, problem, state of problem, and then a solution so advanced the reader learns something substantive each time. And I've done that. I've done context for 9 and 10 year olds. I've done solution for 11 to 16. And solution, and when I mean solution, I mean take mice and men. You apply it to this to that book, you come up with something completely original at the graduate level. And the teacher learns something substantially new each time. Or Romeo and Juliet, something completely original. They're like, we can't come up with original. Grad students have trouble with this. I've combined it with overcoming dyslexia from Yale. And now it's so simple, I can train parents to produce this.
Yeah.
So we're way beyond high school now.
Sure. That's amazing. That is absolutely.
And what effect does that have with artificial intelligence? I had a student who hated AI, but his boss loved it. Okay. And he had to try to come up with something original. So I said, I taught you the process. I guided him through it just at a high level. He pitches it to his boss. They're like, oh, we can use this. Okay. Within a week, he's training his peers on AI because he just sat down there, talked to it, typed with it, figured it out until something worked, because that's what dyslexics do. And then he went and he could show his peers, this is what I found that worked. And before, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I knew nothing about how to do this because I hate the damn thing.
Yeah.
But wow. He's like, I'm so much more productive, but I hate. I said, yeah, welcome to the grown-up world. Your boss is not going to allow you to spend 3 hours to get to a first draft when AI can do it in 10 minutes.
That's exactly right. Well, and yeah. I mean, the reality is, yeah, I think there's a generation of people that are like, well, I don't like it. I don't want to do it. So I'm just not. Well, no, you let me explain to you how this works. Figure it the hell out, bud, because you know, that person yeah. gets the right to ask you to do stuff because they're paying you.
Right. And just so people think it's clear, no, the AI is not going to give you a final product. It's to get a senior person a decent draft or a good draft that you can work with. Like I'm working on my first book. It's about Kimberly's experience during yeah. that 6 months, or hopes, dreams, successes, failures. Hmm. And I wrote a draft with 503 Pro at the time.
Yeah.
From ChatGPT. Then I gave it to my ghostwriter. And she came back a month later with a draft that had nothing in common with what I gave her. Zero. Because she's extraordinarily good and she's a mom of three kids and she just knew what my audience was. But it saved so much time where she didn't have to do all this research. She didn't have she just had to take that and rip it apart and come up with something much better.
Yeah.
So what I try to tell my
kids. Yeah, which is what a great ghostwriter does.
Yeah. And what I try to tell her is, yeah, when you're dealing with, when I try to tell the kids is, if you know the craft of research, I showed you how to prompt engineer your brain. I don't care what model it is. I don't care if it's 5 years from now. You know how to come up with something original, and you just work with the AI to do it more efficiently.
Sure. Well, and that's, I think that's the biggest thing. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that we're going to have to do as a nation. If our kids are going to be successful, because one, they can't just use AI as a crutch to do all their work for them. But if you're using it, if you're doing the front end piece and then leveraging AI to help you with research and even just crafting the language, right. That's the key to the game. You know, I mean, I'll give you an example. I mean, I've developed an AI trading model for my portfolios that I manage for clients. And I wanted to kind of rejigger that entire portfolio or that portfolio strategy. And, you know, I spent probably 3.5 hours yesterday. I mean, if I had to hand calculate all this and figure it out, it would have taken me years on end. And within 4 hours, I had a working trading model that, you know, back tested, it outperforms the S&P 500 consistently with less risk, you know, over time. And even to the point where I asked it, okay, now, given what you know about this strategy or the strategies we're using, optimize it for how, you know, the combination of these three different strategies that would perform the best. And it went in and was able to do that for me. So, you know, I've used this trading model or a slightly different one for the last 4 years, consistently doing it. If I didn't have AI, I used to have to hand calculate this stuff every month. And it literally took me 4 weeks. So I would get the trades done. And then 4 weeks later, I would be able to do the next set of trades at the beginning of the month. AI now has taken all that handwork out and put it to the point where, you know, it's 3 hours worth of work. Next month when I do the trades, it'll literally take me 15 minutes to do it. I'll feed the information in, it'll do all the calculations, and I'll be done.
Well, you mentioned something very important. Teachers say they can't send their kids home to do essays anymore because ChatGPT will just do it for them. Well, with my process, for basic paragraphs, you're talking about one quote. For the advanced ones, it's two, and they're separated by time and space, and we're using warrants and different analytical techniques that are so evolved, you know, they literally took that from the craft of research. And so now the teachers who use it will tell me, show me your work. Where'd you get the quotes? If you can't do it, here's your big red F, go back and redo it. Or they'll say, here's how I figured out the quote. I got it from the reason. I found a simple universal theme. Mm-hmm. I found the quotes. Here's my quotes. I chose this one, the one because it's the best one, or the beginning and the end one. because of this, and then I went through the other steps, and this is how I came up with it. They showed their work. And the teacher decide how much AI they used. Some, a little, medium, or a lot. Each teacher is different. So to me, if a teacher says you can use AI to this extent, it's ethical. And it's teacher, it's per individual teacher dependent. And the teachers accept that. Like I had one teacher who roared, I don't think anybody should use AI for that. I said, it's one of your peers who made that decision. Okay, I'll talk to my peer. They went back and forth. Okay, I think you could use it a little bit. I said, fine. But you see how it's between your peer, nobody else. And that's what, and the teachers love it because now they can assign essays again. Because that's what they were trained to do. And AI just can't do it for the kids. They have to show their work. Which,
okay, if you teach them that craft of research up front where they have that capability and they can learn how to do the research, then, you know, like I said, for me, it's developing the concepts in my own brain and then leveraging AI to take it from zero to something, you know, zero on the page to here's what I need you to do. And it gets you to that point, and then you craft it from there. I laugh when people complain about AI and say, well, you know, it's not fair because something else is doing the writing. What do you call a ghostwriter? 90% of books written by famous people that are out there are written by ghostwriters. What's the difference? I don't get it.
Well, and now you're running into what the issue is for our education or economy. What Stanford came out with some research a couple of weeks ago, and what they found is senior people who are good with AI or decent with it are doing so much better. Okay. The kids, the CEO of Anthropic thinks half the new college grad jobs are going to be gone in 5 years. So what the kids have to do is they have to become senior really fast. Okay. So that's where, if you understand the craft of research, and again, remember, this thing is so advanced that no private school in New York City touches it because it's too evolved. And I found a way to drop context to 9-year-olds. Okay. To show them how to master that concept and then to practice it in college for 4 years. And then when they get out, they can just run with it. Even if they don't know the first thing about AI, they can become very, very senior very quickly. And that's what they need to do. For you college kids out there, you need to master the craft of research so you can become senior really fast. Okay. Then you'll be great. If not, it's just going to get worse and harder. Like you heard about Nvidia or whatever the name of that company is. Nvidia. Yeah. They just dumped $100 billion into OpenAI, and then Oracle just said they're going to dump $300 billion.
Yeah.
However, they're going to finance it, I have no idea. But all of this, they're expecting to without 15x their revenue in the next 5 years. And what do you? Yeah, the agents they have out now are I find they're just pretty useless. But they're going to become, you know, very useful. So those people who can understand the craft of research, who know how to apply it. Especially if you're dyslexic, this has been made for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Like literally when they came out with the pro version of ChatGPT for $200 a month last December, I bought it that day. I had 20 articles, research articles drafted within 24 hours because for the first time I could play. Now with five out, I can't, it is like I can do, I am being more productive in the last month than I was for a decade.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, once again, people, you know, I keep telling people, and, you know, especially on this show, we talk about, okay, how do you create a, you know, a side hustle or something like that, that gets you out of your current job. The easiest one is figure out AI and figure out how you can leverage and use it to your advantage. You know, and create your own side business. But the other part of it is you better be learning how to do it in your current job, because if you don't, somebody's going to come sneaking in right behind you and take that job away from you. So it's protection on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I found from my kids who I taught, you know, I taught them how to do this in high school, you know, back in the 2000 teens, is they finished with college. They're now out there. and they say that their peers are getting fired all over the place. They're called in thinking they're going to get fired, and they're actually offered a promotion. They said, well, you seem to know how to use AI. I said, yeah, this is how we do it. You know, they went through the craft of research. Like, great. Here's a much bigger salary. Go and get this
done. And you're the only one that knows how to do it. So,
you know, and you know how to communicate. They're like, I don't know a thing. A lot of them said, they don't really know about ChatGPT. They don't really like it, but they know the process and they know how to, they said working with ChatGPT is like working with a temperamental dyslexic. And I said, it's exactly right.
Well, how do we get it to do just what we want it to do? And it's consistent with all AI. I mean, it kind of goes down the wrong path sometimes, you know, and I mean, it gets off track. And I wrote an article probably, I guess this was back in the chat 3.5 days. And I was trying to generate an image, which is just, I look at it and I'm like, it was like a year and a half ago. And it was in just its infancy. And I wrote an article that said ChatGPT flipped me off because I was trying to get it to draft an image. And I explained the image in detail. This is what I need you to do. And right out of the gate, it was right on the money. I mean, it just pretty much right on the money, except for one thing that I needed it to change. And I was like, okay, take exactly my instructions that you have. Just don't put that word right here. Well, then, of course, you hit enter and it changes the whole thing And I never could get it back to the thing.
Yep.
So finally, I get it to somewhat similar. But in the middle of the screen was a hand with its middle finger sticking up in the air. And I was like, ChatGPT just flipped me off. That was it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you,
yep.
I use 5 Pro for everything, and it's 10 to 25 minutes. So I'll have the app running, doing something. I'll have the, I'll be doing it on the internet, and then I'll be doing some other thing while it does its stuff. Why that? Because I find its hallucinations are drastically reduced. All right. And the quality of what I get back for an answer is so much better. So again, the reason why I just keep harping on that is because, again, I show the dyslexic kids how to do that craft of research and how to come up with something truly original. What I do is I reduced it to a reformula and then I run it through 5 passes. It's very it's very AI heavy. Okay. And then we're adding things each pass until you're looking at, like, let's say we're doing mice and men and we're doing commentary on the economy. I will start adding each pass some different economies about the economy. And by the time you add all those little things together, you get something, whether it's not like some big breakthrough that I see a vision of a universal theme that's never been applied successfully with this. It's a combination of all those little things that make it a truly original paper. Okay. And that's what, and then when you go to do things for like a book, like when I'm doing my book, everybody I know, so they spent $15,000-$20,000 with their ghostwriter and everything else. I'm trying to get the whole thing done for less than $1,500.
Which is definitely a possibility. Yeah.
Okay. And there are ways of doing it, but I'm inventing it with the artificial intelligence, how to do that all the time. Like I'll get my ghostwriter will say, you know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I was like, oh, okay. My plans for the day are shot. The whole day's below. And I was going to go up and go and do some hiking, but I sit down and by 11 o'clock at night, all right, I send it back and I say, here's the next thing to work on. And she's like, most people take days, usually weeks or a month to get back to me. And you do it the same day. I said, yeah, I don't have time to take years to do this. I want to do it in 6 months.
Makes complete sense. Well, what's new in your world? What I mean, do you have anything that you're working on that you want to let the audience know about?
Well, the main thing that I'm trying to do is to convince New York State there's an affordable way of doing this. So what happened is last year they did the dyslexia task force. They took the 100 top people in the state and they came up with a solution. Okay, it's you can read it online. It's New York State Dyslexia Task Force, New York State Education Department. It's right there. Well, then they tried to fund it. We are the highest tax state in the country. Sorry, California, we beat you.
This is not a, this is not a race you want to win, by the way.
Well, we spend more per kid than anybody else. California wishes they spent what we spent. So then, even with all of that, okay, the goal was to get the kids at grade level for reading and writing by the end of fifth grade. And then, by the way, if you get them mostly out of special ed, you save like 10, 15 grand a year per kid. Or more.
Makes sense.
It's huge savings. Okay. But then they came back. They didn't pass for two reasons. They can't afford it. And the teachers were up in arms because they said we just dumped so much more stuff on them. They don't. They can't take weeks of additional training to do this. So what I'm trying to tell, why I'm doing all of these podcasts, is I'm trying to spread the word. That remember, I just had a mom do this. I met Evelyn White Bay
in less than 6 to 7 months. By the way,
less than 6 months. She did this. Okay, so I met Evelyn White Bay at one of the public comments periods. She was one of like three teachers on the task force. She was 3 to 4x more successful than your typical special ed teacher. So together, we can go into a school district. Show them how to do K through high school for the reading and writing, enough for the teachers to take over to really improve the reading and writing. Because here's a little secret about reading. If the kid can write it, they can read it. We can do that whole thing in under 6 hours. You can afford this. All right. And the teachers can modify it to meet their teachers.
Learning this stuff. You can do it in a very short period of time.
Because the teachers already know what to do. We're just showing them a different sequence of what they're already doing.
And helping them understand their kids and say, hey, we got to reverse the brain. You got to think of ways of reversing the brain. And then once you do it, you've got it fixed, basically.
And we're just trying to, I mean, last legislative period in the spring, I met Evelyn and I went in, we talked to the senior people. And now what I'm trying to do is to get on. So I joined Podmatch to try to get the word out. And what is so ridiculous about what I do is it has other applications, but I'm a niche guy, but there's like 4,800 guests on the service and I'm ranked number one. This is my 67th podcast. I have 86 more scheduled. Okay. And it's because this is just the best way to spread the word. And I'm just hoping that we can get this into the state so we can get these kids through this stuff and not have to worry about money, because believe me, the money's there. They're spending over 40 grand per kid. And the results is like a 10% passage rate. It's horrible. And it's not because the teachers aren't trying. Yeah. They really, really – just you know how crazy this is. You go into a suburban district in New York State. You have 300 applicants per teacher positions. So they're already the top 1% of their field. Most of them have over 5 years of experience. They stay there for like forever. Yeah. They retire there. All right. And they're really good. And they got a lot of money. And they really try. And this is what we're getting.
Once again, it just, I feel like beating my head against the wall, because you hear, we hear here in Texas, we need to raise, more money to give to schools and all this. Okay. But I mean, we've got decent results, but we don't have great results here. And, it's across the country. Results suck and we're not getting our money's worth. So
did you ever hear of this little place called the University of Texas?
Yeah, I've heard of it a couple times. Now people often would tell you that that's the only college in Texas. However, those of us that went to Texas Tech would beg to differ with them.
Yep. Right. But this is just what I get from the guides. It's the top institution south of Chicago, east of California, that you're going to get in the southern United States. Okay. Just for like law school, business school, the big ones. I'm like, okay, you guys have the educational institution. Mm. It's not a lack of money.
Nope.
It's a lack of, and I've proven that time and time again. It's just a lack of my back part of my brain has just, again, virtually nothing going on. Yours is going crazy. the front part of my brain is 2.5 times overactive. Sure. So just during that intervention period, let's just try to focus on the speciality specific to the general word analysis followed by articulation. Yeah. Now, according to Evelyn Whitebay, here's a way schools can get around that. If you got 30 kids per teacher, you can't be doing 30 different books. But she said maybe you do two or three. Yeah. Like maybe you do Harry Potter. Maybe you do Twilight. I don't know. You find books, two or three of them that they're really into or at least kind of into. And then you can go to each group while the other group's doing the work. And then you can send the home to parents to help out. I could never come up with an idea like that. But Evelyn comes up with this stuff all the time.
That understands how the system works and can help you guide you through the craziness of the system. Yeah.
Yeah, but she would go in, and why was she on the task force? Because the state would go in when she was teaching, and she literally had 3 to 4x the results. Like, what are you doing? And then when she retired, the senior person of the state education department literally went to her old superintendent. They literally put so much pressure on her to join because they wanted the best. And so she went and did it for a year. All right. So now we know what to do. It's just a matter of here's just a bit more of efficient way of doing it. If a mom can do it, then I think a professional educator
should be able to pick this up pretty dang quick. Because once again, you're when they have the kids all day, it's out of the ordinary. It's not something that they don't understand. You didn't create something from absolute zero. Mm-hmm. You just resequenced something and said, okay, do it this way. And it worked.
Yeah. Yeah. I could show you how to go through the entire system, not in 6 hours. I could probably do it in 2 days, but I could show it to you in parts, and it's not that hard to do. It's really not that hard to do. I've had 14-year-old AP English girls do it.
That's not amazing.
14 in Texas. Yeah. Well, here's a Texas story I think you'd like. His name was Reed. I can use his first name. Mom went through a divorce. They're having trouble. Their next door neighbor, she's 14 going on 40 maturity-wise. And I'm sure you know girls like that. She's an 8th grade cheerleader, AP English kid. Reed doesn't want to do his work. So she looks at him like a younger brother. Reed, you're going to do this. Within less than a month, he's a top 5 student in his English class.
Amazing.
Done by a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay. So this can be done.
It's absolutely amazing.
All right.
All right, folks. Well, Russell, let's talk about the Fast 5 questions. All right. So first question, you wake up in the morning, business is gone. You have $500 in your pocket, a laptop computer, even I'll give you a new MacBook instead of the 5-year-old version. You have a place to live, food and clothing. What do you do first?
First thing I do is, because I'm dyslexic, I buy the professional version of ChatGPT. Otherwise, I'm literally useless.
Yeah. And you have $500 to play with. So it gives you a couple months worth of it at that point to make some money.
Right. And then I would take what I know and I would immediately go find some clients that I could work with and then just keep reinvesting it. And, you know, you're going to live in a studio apartment someplace. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely. Well, you have a place to live, so you're good.
Yeah.
All right. What's the biggest business mistake you've ever made?
Biggest business mistake I ever made. I decided to take 8 years off to figure out how to do a technical problem of how to take this from super motivated kids to typical kids. And that took me eight years.
Wow. But you did it.
I did it. And do you know what the result was? Flip articulation followed by word analysis followed by articulation. That's the fun part of the brain.
You're like, and you're like, crap, if I'd have just done that in year one, I'd have been fine.
I can't tell you how many. And like, it was so simple, but you know, it's so many of those.
Occam's razor, man. The simplest solution is always the right answer.
Yeah, but it's really hard to come up with that simple
answer. Well, yeah, I know. It's getting to that simplest solution that's the challenge. All right. What's a book that you would recommend for our audience?
by far the most popular one. Oh, if you can see, this is Walt Disney, the Triumph of the American Imagination.
Yep.
Okay. Walt Disney was dyslexic. A lot of people say. Going through his biography, that's the most popular book I use. I'll show that to a 10-year-old with a second grade reading level. And I would say find the two universal themes that make up the Disney magic. The first one's so easy to find. The second one, the most important one, is much harder. Once you understand how to find those and use those, you can apply those skills to anything.
Yeah. No, that is, and I've read multiple Walt Disney biographies, but hands down, that is the best Disney biography I've ever read. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great choice.
Well, actually, let me ask you this. So what's the second, what are the two universal themes that make up the Disney magic?
I don't know. Honestly, I've read the book. It's been a while since I've read the book, but no, I don't know the answer.
I've never found a parent that could answer it. But having their 12-year-old kid who started off at 10 would point it out and said, that's it.
Yeah. Well, the Disney magic is to always be thinking and to figure out a way to separate people from their money.
Well, that's the new one.
If you've ever been to that Disney World, you'll know they know how to separate you from your money fast.
But this was back in Walt passed away in 65. And when Michael Eisner took over Disney, they couldn't believe how cheap it was to get in. Parking was a buck.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Heaven forbid that we actually did stuff so that we could get everybody into the park. But it's now you can't get in for a group of family of four can't get in for under $6,000 for a week. So
and that's staying off campus.
Yeah. All right. What's a tool that you use in your business every day? I bet you I know what this is that you would recommend for our audience.
It's going to be ChatGPT Pro. As a dyslexic, it's like having, I have been more productive in the last month with Five Pro than I have in the last 10 years. All right. It's just amazing because I do Pro for everything. And it just comes back with the best results and allows me to think, build things up.
It's a tool. You have to pay for tools. You have to, you can't just get everything for free. And if you're using it as a tool every day, then spend the money. It's well worth it. So I totally agree.
Yeah. It's like $10 a working day. Yeah. And that's less
and
than
I
a
couldn't
meal
hire
done.
Somebody cheap enough to be able to do it. And I've been running, I now run tests with my virtual assistant to where I create prompts and I hand those prompts off to her and she can actually create precisely what I would have created, in my version of ChatGPT. So, I think there's even greater ways to make it a more useful tool and more efficiency. So awesome. Last question. Yeah. What is your definition of freedom?
My definition of freedom is to be able to get up and do what you want that allows you to feel fulfilled and to help others. And to tell you the truth, I've been on that path since I walked out of the assembly internship and I got that, freaking F grade. All right.
Yeah.
That was my last corporate job. All right. And when people are under the delusion that they're going to retire with everything. Okay.
Yep.
Little thing. You're a finance guy. Just tell them, look at the cost of healthcare and where that's going. All right. The only person who I know who can do that is my mother because my father did the savings thing, but they always drove junky used cars and we went on vacation. We stayed at campsites. Okay. So they had the extra and they started out with a house with renters. Then they sold it. So when they bought their final house, they had it paid off, by the time I was in middle school. Okay. So they saved up a lot. And me and my three sisters kept my dad out of the nursing home. And now we're keeping my mom out of the nursing home. Okay. And that's a commitment we've all made to drive her to her appointments and all this other stuff. She can't drive anymore. So besides that, okay, what you're talking about with the financial, you got to do something like that. Or otherwise, just look at what this COVID thing. I had an economist look. I said, what's the real numbers for inflation? They said 47%. I give you an example. There's a place I used to love to go for chicken parm dinners. It was $16.50 in 2019. Then they increased it to $23.50. Yep. And I just said, "I this is ridiculous. Okay, I'm just not going to do it as often." Then I went to order. It was $29. I can get a steak dinner at the Longhorn Steakhouse for cheaper. I walked into the owner and I said, "I am never coming back in here." And I said it so everybody could hear. He said, "Well, we haven't risen our prices in about 6 months." I said, "Yeah, $16.50 to $29 for chicken parm. Yeah. I'm done. Have a nice day."
Yet Longhorn Steakhouse can deliver a superior product still for a very, what I consider a very reasonable price. And
$6 increase from 2019.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. That's what I've noticed. A lot of places went up $5-6. But then, so it's just like, forget it. So with the inflation, with all this other stuff, your approach to this makes a lot of sense.
You've got to figure out ways to generate an income stream that is a consistent, hopefully passive. It doesn't always have to be, but hopefully passive income stream that keeps generating money so that you don't have to save millions and millions of dollars. Because, I mean, the reality is, if let's say you make $100,000 a year, you're going to need $2.5 million in a pool of money that you can use to turn into that same $100,000 over time. Most people, if you're sitting here today and you've got, let's say less than $100,000, there's no way that you can't save enough to get there.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But like to give you an example, one of my clients was in Texas, outside of Dallas in a suburban area, and they had a pretty good rental place. They had a very hard rule. They pulled the three credit scores. 749, they will not rent to you. 750 and above, they will consider it. They'll look at your car, and based on the condition of your car and your references, they will rent to you. They had a bunch of renters. These are people that had the jobs where they could work from home. We're not talking about trying to kick college kids out. All right. And they didn't want to pay their rent because they didn't have to. So you know what they did? They said, "Fine, we will go and I'm going to tell the credit reporting agencies."
Yep.
Almost everybody paid that didn't pay, except this one guy who wouldn't pay. So then this was so funny. He ended up, he goes to get a new car and he's expecting like the lowest possible rates. And they say it's like 18%. He's like, "What? Like your credit, you're not paying your rent. Why would you pay us a
car if you're not going to pay your rent?"
Yeah.
Right. So then he went and paid it up, but it was going to take years for him to get back to where he was. That's how you know, little way of doing, but the key thing with that one is legally, if somebody came in that you wanted to rent to with 749, you can't let them in because then it's discriminatory. You can use that, but you have, and they will, the government will send in people to check on that. You have to
be consistent, but as long as you're consistent, you're good. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, Russell, thank you very much for joining us on the show. Can you give us if somebody's wanting to learn a little bit about what you do, maybe they need your services, where's the best place to reach you?
Best thing to do is to go to dyslexiaclasses.com. That's plural with an S, dyslexiaclasses.com. There's a button right on the homepage. Okay. It says download free report. Click on it. Answer a few questions. You'll get a booklet. The three reasons your child's having trouble in school due to dyslexia and how to get past it. And then you set up a half an hour time to work with me. I speak with your child. I'll tell you what's going to happen. "I don't want to do this. This ain't going to work." Then I ask them a couple of questions. "How did you know?"
Yeah.
I said, "Because I was you." And then we talk, and is this how you want to overcome your reading and writing concerns? They say yes. We work with families on a yearly basis, so that's affordable. Nice. And we show you how to love get it. This done.
And you got results multiple times, so they can't say that you don't. Yeah.
Oh, we've done this hundreds and hundreds of hundreds.
Well, Russell, thank you so much for joining us. And sorry about some of the little technical glitches, but we made it through to the end. It was been a wonderful conversation.
Yeah, no problem.
We had probably as long of a conversation before as we did during. And he's the real deal, folks. So make sure that you, if you've got somebody you know, if you've got a child that's got dyslexia, if you're an adult and has dyslexia, reach out He'll help you, and he can figure out how to get you where you need to be. So thanks a lot, and we will see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.